أحق من عبد، وأجود من سئل، وأرأف من ملك. أنت الملك لا شريك لك، والأحد الذي لا ند لك. لن تطاع إلا بإذنك، ولن تعصى إلا بعلمك. تطاع فتشكر، وتعصى فتغفر. القلوب لك مفضية، والسر عندك علانية. والحلال ما أحللت، والحرام ما حرمت، والدين ما شرعت. والعبد عبدك، والبلد بلدك، والأرض أرضك، وأنت الله الرؤوف الرحيم. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بلغ الرسالة، وأدى الأمانة، ونصح الأمة، وكشف الغمة، وجاهد في الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. فجزاه الله عنا خير ما يجازى نبي عن أمته، ورضي الله عن صحابته الغر الميامين الذين نقلوا لنا علم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him, and we bear witness that there is no deity except one, Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. The remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah, it's a word that we hear about from everywhere, from the scholars during the khutbahs. And then when we read the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, Ya ayyuha, in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, dhikrullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah as many, 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 many times. Dhikran kathira, many, many times. And then also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah, He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Indeed, you have a role model, a good example in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those who have hopes of being rewarded, have hopes of a good life in round number two. Round number two is the hereafter. Round number one is this life. So those who have any hopes in round number two, which is the hereafter, any hopes of good life, those would follow the example of Prophet Muhammad. And then, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and they will remember Allah. So they will follow the example of Prophet Muhammad, number one. Number two, would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so many times. Now, following the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by itself, means all of that, including the remembrance of Allah. However, following the example of Prophet Muhammad also includes so many things, so many other things other than the remembrance of Allah. However, Allah chose this particular item and highlighted this item out of all the items of following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then what's the opposite of the remembrance of Allah? The opposite of the remembrance of Allah is the forgetfulness of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have talked about it in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, said, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget themselves, or forget their best interest in the hereafter, or round number two. Forget doing good deeds and planning and designing for round number one. All their efforts, all their planning, all their activities are limited to round number one, which is this life. And they forgot about round number two. They forgot Allah, so Allah made them forget round number two. And as a result, all their activities are constrained to round number one, which is this life. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about our grandfather Adam, when he made a mistake, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا in Surah Taha, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. We have trusted, delegated responsibilities to Adam before, and he forgot me. And we did not find for him, in him enough power and strength to keep my remembrance all the time so that he doesn't make a mistake. So he forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during a short period of time that was enough for him to make a big mistake. So what is that business of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why is it so important? When people forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah is not absent in the brain, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absent from the brain, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absent from the heart, people will make decisions and plan activities with complete forgetfulness of Allah, or complete ignorance of Allah. They ignore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They live their lives, and they plan their activities as though there is no Allah, as though there is no round number two, as though there is no hereafter, as though there is no supreme being who uses the stick and carrots approach. As though all these things don't exist. And they plan their lives just like completely ignoring this fact. And this is the forgetfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in the state of forgetfulness of Allah, what would be the force that influenced the decisions and the actions of the human being in the absence of the remembrance of Allah. We know in the remembrance of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a driving force. His remembrance will be a driving force for the believer to do good deeds and to plan activities and to plan and to make decisions. But how about for the ones who don't have the remembrance of Allah? Then based on what they make decisions, based on what they plan activities, it is based on temptations. So in the absence of Allah, which is the forgetfulness of Allah, temptations will immediately take over. Allah created a room for himself in the human heart. If the human remembrance Allah, means that the human will bring Allah to his heart or her heart. But if the human will not bring Allah to this room that Allah created for himself in the heart, then temptations are going to fill this room and control the human beings. So slavery to Allah means freedom from temptations. You know, it is one or the other. It's either slavery to temptations or slavery to Allah. When we choose to bring Allah, then we are freeing ourselves from temptations. And slavery to Allah becomes a mercy. Because just imagine that there is no slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that everything will be temptation based. All decisions and actions will be based on temptations. And there is nothing, there's no other force that I'm aware of that will control the human behavior other than temptation in the absence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is mercy, because it's freedom from temptations. Because the presence of Allah is so powerful and so inspiring that it will enable us to say no to temptations. Even if it's so attractive and so desirable and so sweet, we will say no. Where do we get our strength of saying no to these temptations from? We get it from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts. Just imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people who forget Him, and they base all their decisions on temptations. So when they eat because they are tempted to eat. When they go somewhere, they go because they are tempted to go. When they do a good deed, they do a good deed because they are tempted to do the good deed. When they don't do a good deed, they do it because they are tempted not to do a good deed. And everything to them is just driven by temptations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about those people at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ Shall I tell you about the loosest kind of human beings? Why the loosest? الْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ They lost all their deeds. So they have deeds. الْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ They have a lot of deeds. Good deeds, achievements, accomplishments, fruits, big achievements and fruits. However, they are أَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالَ They lose all of it. So who are those people? Allah. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ And Allah continues describing them. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعَيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا Those who have lost the way in this life. However, in their mind, all were doing excellent. Not only in their mind, but also in the eyes of the others. Wow, look at him. He did this and that. Look at his accomplishments. Look at his publications. Look at his research. Look at his money. Look at his wealth. Look at his charity. Look at lots of good deeds, lots of fruits, lots of accomplishments. But motivated by what? All these accomplishments are temptation-based accomplishments. It is based on temptations, motivated by temptations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ They rejected the idea of there is a God, supreme God, who uses the carrots and stick approach. They rejected this whole idea. And they rejected the meeting round number two. They said there is nothing called round number two. You guys are talking about myth, superstition. And when you mention to them the Jannah, they tell you, oh yeah, buy in the sky. I mean, where is that buy in the sky? You know, to them they lost the battle because materialism is a real thing that you go through every day and you experience, you can see, you can touch. Materialism is surrounding you. It's a real life experience. But faith is buy in the sky. Where is it, this Jannah? Where is this carrot that you're talking about? So they lost all confidence, all hope for round number two, and all faith in round number two. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what I'm going to do to them in the day of judgment. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا All all these deeds and great accomplishments will be equated to zero. Allah will throw it away like a dust. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. I will come to all their deeds and blow it away like dust. هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, like a dust. You know? And then, what is the result? أُولَٰئِكَ جَزَاؤُهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ بِمَا كَفَرُوا وَاتَّخَذُوا آيَاتِ وَرُسُلِهُ هُزُوًا. The reward, their fair reward, is hellfire. Why? Because they denied me my existence, they denied my signs and the creations, they denied the messengers that I have sent, they denied the scriptures and decided to live their life completely ignoring me, completely as though I haven't sent messengers, as though I haven't sent any books, as though I haven't sent any signs, as though I haven't created any magnificent miracles around them that they can examine, huge universe that has 100,000 million galaxies. Every galaxy has 2 billion stars. It's like they don't have a very sophisticated human body that is, you know, if there was a brother who said, excuse me, do you think I'm stupid? Do I look stupid to you? This human body, which is a very sophisticated engine, does not need an engineer to design it. So you're saying there's a very good, well-designed car without an engineer behind. So how can you say that there is a very sophisticated, advanced human body without a creator behind? Excuse me, do I look stupid to you? How can you say that? And, you know, all these magnificent evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, not to mentioning a prophet that all historians, when they try to use the laws of nature to explain his accomplishment, they couldn't. They said, how could a man in 23 years build a righteous superpower? That's impossible. They tried to use the laws of nature to explain how could he, at his time, build a righteous superpower in 23 years that filled the whole earth of righteousness. And they say, it's impossible. The laws of nature does not explain that. And many of them said, if we are not sure 100% that this is a fact in the history, if we are not scholars of history and it was reported by so many people that speak so many languages, that lived in so many places, that have so many different cultures, the same exact thing was reported by those so many historians, that it is impossible for them to agree on the same fabrication or lie, we wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't believe that a man was able to build a righteous superpower in 23 years using Arabs who bowed to images, to stones, who worshipped images of beasts drawn on the wall or carved in stone or wood. Arabs who buried their baby daughters alive. The animals didn't bury their baby daughters alive. They did it. Arabs who used to kill each other for the most ridiculous, silly reasons, like a whole, a camel race and things like that. How can he take those people and build a righteous superpower out of them in 23 years? No, nothing in the laws of nature can explain his accomplishments. The accomplishment of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by themselves is a testimony against everyone. You know, those who say he's a charismatic leader. Oh, hundreds of charismatic leaders have lived. They could not achieve that thing. Oh, he's a genius leader. Oh, hundreds of genius people existed and they will continue to exist. He is a person who is supported by unseen soldiers. So, he have used the laws of nature. However, the laws of nature that he has used does not justify his accomplishments. Just like when Mary shake the palm tree, that does not justify the dates to fall down because she's just out of labor, she's very tired, she's one woman, she's shaking the palm tree so hard that the dates are falling down. All of us can't do that if we are all together. So her accomplishments is not justified by the laws of nature that she used to get the dates when she's shaking the palm tree. And yet she was able to accomplish that because of the unseen soldier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about all over the Quran. For example, in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah said, وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. He supported his prophet with unseen soldiers. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. O you who believe, remember the favors that Allah has done to you. When soldiers, coalitions came on you, attacking, surrounding you from all directions, So I sent on them a wind that blew them away like dust, a wind that blew them away, and I have sent to them unseen soldiers. So believers and unbelievers have access to the laws of nature, equal. Actually, using the laws of nature, Prophet Muhammad should have not ever succeeded. He's one man. They outnumbered him in brains. They outnumbered him in muscles. They outnumbered him in weapons. They outnumbered him in everything. Using the laws of nature, there is no way you can explain how could he build a righteous superpower in 23 years using the laws of nature. And laws of nature, everybody have access to the laws of nature. And by the laws of nature will say, no, he cannot succeed. However, he did succeed. And he was very confident that he will succeed. Quran comes from day number one. Surah Al-Furqan was revealed in the very early days of the mission of Prophet Muhammad, when he was by himself with very few weak companions surrounding him, and he's running away for his life. Surah Al-Furqan was revealed. What is the beginning of Surah Al-Furqan? تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Praise be to Allah, the one who revealed Quran to his slave, to be a warning to all worlds. So wait a minute. Are we talking about Mecca? No. Are we talking about the Arabian Peninsula? No. Are we talking about the entire earth? Yes. Are we talking about the entire earth only? No. We're talking about the entire earth, the mankind and the jinnkind. لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. And that verse was revealed in the very early days of Mecca. So he had the full trust of the results because he knows who is behind him. Allah supporting him with unseen soldiers. So he's using the laws of nature to respect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to follow, and to show us the way is to use and employ the laws of nature. Don't count on miracles. Do your best in employing the laws of nature. What is your best? This is my best. Then Allah will send unseen soldiers to make you successful, or Allah will decide not to make you successful. Based on His wisdom, He decides. And many other prophets, they have fought so hard, and they lost the battle. They are either killed, as the Prophet Muhammad said, the Prophet will come in the Day of Judgment, he has no followers. Another Prophet will come with one follower, a third Prophet will come with two followers and three followers, and then less than 10 followers. So not all the Prophets have accomplished. Allah's wisdom, He decides whether to send the unseen soldiers to give victory to this Prophet or not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides. And He knew, He was promised by Allah that you, Muhammad, I've chosen you, I am going to support you to the end until you build that righteous superpower that is going to reform the whole entire world. So this by itself is a testimony. And if we spend all the time talking about the evidence that proves that there is a power beyond the natural power, which is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a power who created the actual natural power itself. So a supreme power that created the natural laws, and a supreme power that acts beyond and above the natural laws. All evidence proves that. And there is no way anybody can deny that unless this person is going against his mind, his conscience, and, you know, this person is really rejecting the calls from his mind and conscience and turning his or her back to these calls and responding to the calls from temptations. Temptations say, why do you need to worry about God? Why do you need to worry about laws or religion? It's very easy to live your life the way you would like to live your life and completely ignore God, ignore His messengers, ignore all this junk altogether. Important thing is to have good accomplishments. Important thing is to do good deeds. Important thing is to have good heart. And we know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about all these things when they are motivated by temptations. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. إني داع فقولوا آمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام.